was a bit of feast fever here. Listen to everybody yakking up a storm. It was great. And we're all looking forward to the feast. This week was bringing back memories of traveling to Penticton. My first feast when I was 10 years old, anticipating, you know, not knowing what was going to happen. And you get up there and there's this big tent that they were putting up. The guys from Big Sandy would come up and this tent would hold 10,000 people. And you can imagine in Penticton all of us singing and the whole of the city core would hear us. It was quite a thing. It was fun. Teenager, young lad, learned a lot of things, had a lot of fun, a lot of physical things at the feast. And as we grow and 50 years later, hopefully I've learned something. And today I'd like to share something with you that I found in a study. It has to do with the feast. And it has to do with manna. And this study, well, it has to do with food. But it's not going to be about atonement. You know, God certainly has a way of getting his people's attention with food. He got Israel's attention, food and water. And he does the same for us too. For us to properly focus on God, he wants us to fast. And that hurts. And there's something spiritual that happens when we fast. It's a magical thing. God can hear us more. He can hear our prayers. And he knows it's hard for us to do. So when we fast for the right reason, he hears us. So it was about 15 years ago, I started a study on, like many have done, on cooking on the Sabbath. And the study took me to Exodus, of course, and I'm not going to get into the cooking on the Sabbath, but it took me to a study on manna. Because the children of Israel were not to kindle a fire to cook their manna on the Sabbath. And in that study, it was really exciting because the further I got into it, I forgot about the study on cooking, kindling a fire on the Sabbath. And I found that the symbolism of manna had to do with the Feast of Tabernacles. And the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians, Yeah, 1 Corinthians 10. Paul and others let us know that all those symbols of the Old Testament, they were for us. They weren't for the Israelites. All those stories, they were types, they were shadows, and they were for us today. You think of the Exodus and the tremendous symbolism of just the Exodus and the baptism in the sea and the rock of Jesus that followed him and gave him water. The tabernacle, the priesthood, and all the duties of the priesthood. Even Old Testament tithing has a spiritual counterpart in the New Testament that is very powerful. So all these things God gave for us today. So we'll look at, let's read 1 Corinthians 10. And I've printed all my scriptures out because I'm having a hard time with my eyes. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. And all were baptized under Moses in the cloud and the sea, and did eat the same spiritual meat, and did drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. So most of Israel did not make it into the promised land. So there's a lesson here for us. They're all lessons for us. Now these things were examples for us, to the intent that which we should not lust after evil things, as they had lusted. Neither shall we be idolaters, as they some of them were. And the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed fornication and fell one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them tempted Christ and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur, as some of them also murmured. Now all these things, verse 11, happened unto them for examples to us, that they are written for our admonition upon the ends of the world to come. So, let's go now. Let's go back to Exodus 16, and we'll get into God's command about man. And we'll start picking up the story. Exodus 16, and starting in verse 14. We'll kind of start partway into it. And when the dew that lay upon was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay small round things, as small as the frost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, "It is manna," for they knew not what it was. And Moses said to them, "This is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord has commanded. Gather it, every man according to his eating, one omer for every man according to his number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in your tents." Verse 17. And the children of Israel did so, and they gathered some more, some less. And when they did it with an omer, he had gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. And Moses said, "Let no man leave until the morning." Notwithstanding, they hearkened unto Moses, but some of them left some of it until the morning, and it grew worms and it stank. And Moses was wroth with them. And they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating. And when the sun waxed hot, it melted. And it came to pass that on the sixth day, they gathered twice as much. Now, this is important to remember. They gathered twice as much. Two omers for one man. And all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. And he said unto them, "This is that which the Lord has said. Tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which you will bake today, and seethe that which you seethe, and that which remains over, lay it up and keep it till the morning." So they were supposed to bake and seethe double portion. They were supposed to use fire and water the previous day, not on the Sabbath. And they laid it up until the morning, and Moses said, and it did not stink, neither was there any worms found in it. And Moses said, "Eat that today, for today is the Sabbath unto the Lord. Today you shall not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in there shall be none." So if they go out and find to look for it, there would be none. And it came to pass that some of them went out, and on the seventh day to gather it, and they found none. And the Lord said to Moses, "How long refuse you to keep my commandments and my laws? See, for the Lord has given you the Sabbath, therefore he gives you on the sixth day the bread for 2 days. I abide every man in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day." So the people rested on the seventh day. And the house of Israel called the name of this manna, and it was like coriander seed. Was white, and the taste of it was like wafers with honey. And Moses said, "This is the thing which the Lord has commanded. Fill an omer and keep it for all the generations." Verse 33, and Moses said to Aaron, "Take a pot and put an omer full of manna therein, and lay it up before the Lord and keep it for all your generations. As the Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron laid it up before the testimony to keep. And the children of Israel did eat manna for 40 years as they came into the promised land. And as they came into the promised land, they didn't have to eat manna. It stopped because they were to eat the fruit of the ground. So, what is this manna a shadow of? What are we to learn from this? Well, we know from our years of study in the church that we know that the manna represented Jesus, like the rock that followed him in the wilderness and gave them water. I'm just going to read this. John 6:31. "Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it was written, he gave them the bread of the bread from heaven to eat. John 6:49, your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness, and they are dead. 58, this is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna, and are dead. He that eats of this bread shall live forever. So we're starting to see the bread that they were eating, the manna, was symbolic of Jesus sustaining them in the wilderness. For 6 days, they were to gather the manna, and on the seventh day, they would have double portion. For 6,000 years, we have had Jesus in one form or another with us on this earth to look after us and to guide us and to show us the way. But on the seventh of the 1,000 years, on the 7,000 year, Jesus is now going to be with us in the millennium. We don't have to go out to look for him anymore, because this is our time to be gathering a double portion of the manna. We are in the last 6,000 year. And we keep wondering when it's going to end, the way things are going in this world. But Jesus wants us to understand. He wants us to gather a double portion of the bread of life. In the model prayer, we called part of the prayer says to pray for your daily bread. And most people think that like going to the fridge or to the store. But it's not. What Jesus is trying to say to us is he is our daily bread. He is our manna, which sustains us every day and prepares us for the kingdom. That's what Jesus wants us to do. Another interesting thing, the manna didn't produce worms and it didn't stink on the Sabbath, because it pictures that there is no longer sin in the kingdom of God. And that might have had something to do with why they weren't supposed to kindle a fire on the Sabbath. Because if they did, it would picture that they were still trying to prepare the manna on the Sabbath. But we won't have to prepare the manna on the Sabbath in the millennium. Jesus will be with us, because we have prepared, and he is a reality during this 1,000 years. The baking and the sealing are very interesting. As I mentioned, to bake with fire and to boil with water. And we know that the water is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. The baking with fire is a symbol of the very glory of God. And they need that to prepare the manna. We don't have access to manna unless we have the Holy Spirit, unless we have the fire of the glory of God. That fire that used to dwell in the temple, that was transferred from the temple and the tabernacle on the day of Pentecost. That's why there was tongues of fire above people's heads, along with the rushing wind of the Holy Spirit. But the tongue of fire that was above people's heads symbolized the very glory of God that was now going to be in the spiritual temple that was started on the day of Pentecost. Of course, the Jews, they still had the temple going. And they had a fire going, but you might as well say it was the wrong type of fire. And God was not pleased with them anymore, because the real fire now was dwelling in the spiritual body, in every living stone that was being put together to form the new church. So when we think of the Feast of Tabernacles, we have 7 days to celebrate. So many times over the years, I can remember most of the messages were just about living in the millennium. What are we going to do? There was very little about what we need to overcome, because when you think about it, 6 days of that feast should be for us to think about being temporary dwellers. I mean, that's what the feast is about, temporary dwellers. Even into the millennium, day 7, we are still temporary dwellers on the earth. And at the end of the 7th day, the temporary dwellings come down. And on the eighth day, it comes something fantastic after that. And that's why on the seventh day of the feast, and this might be a little different for people to hear, Jesus stood on the last day of the feast, not the eighth day, the last day of the feast. He stood and he cried aloud. He said to all the Jews and the Pharisees and the chief priests, he said, "Come unto me and drink of that living water." Because when the millennium starts, the living water is going to flow out from Jesus Christ and is going to heal this earth. Because after the day of the Lord and all the trumpets and the plagues, this earth is going to be a mess. Can you imagine the ocean? Everything's going to be dead in it. It's going to be blood. There's going to be nuclear war even before we get to the day of the Lord. So the earth is going to need to be healed by the living waters that flow out of Jesus Christ. So on the seventh day of the feast, think about it, pictures the millennium. The 6 days before symbolize our temporary journey on this earth, all of mankind. And Jesus wants us to be there. I mean, the feast is exciting. We have all the physical things that we look forward to. But what God wants us to focus on is being in the kingdom. That is the ultimate. These are just physical things that prepare us. So we need to do our part. And not just do manna one day. Our job now is, because we are in the sixth day, is to gather a double portion. Because it is critical right now. The things that are happening in the world. There's a lot of talk about the mark of the beast and these physical things that are coming. But I think Satan has an interesting way of fooling us. You better believe it, because he has got us looking for physical signs when the spiritual is already here. God gave us his mark in the Old Testament. It was a sign. It was in our right hand and our foreheads. It was his law, his holy days. Satan has his sign. It's in the right hand and the forehead. It's a counterfeit. False religion. So, false holidays. So the world, whether they know it or not, have already accepted, spiritually speaking, the mark of the beast. They're readily going to accept a physical mark if it comes. So, the world has its problems, but we have our problem too in the church. That's why we need double amount of manna. The world has a virus. It's the virus of the beast, the spiritual virus. Brethren, we have a spiritual virus. It's called Laodicea. And it is affecting us. It has been affecting us for many years. So we have to work very hard to overcome. And we need the true manna of God, the bread of life, to make sure that we are there in the kingdom, that we do not forsake our final assembly, as says in Hebrews. I know the King James says, it refers to people going to church in that scripture. Do not forsake the assembling yourselves together. Well, the true meaning was altered by the king, because they were control freaks. They wanted everybody in church all the time. But the book of Hebrews is a warning of how Israel failed to enter into the promised land. They did not make it to their final assembly. And God wants us to do that. So brethren, think about these things, the manna, the symbolism, as we get closer to the Feast of Tabernacles and in our daily lives ahead and the troubles that are awaiting us. Prepare ourselves and let God, let Jesus Christ work in our lives.